You know, as growing up in the church and then being involved in ministry all my life and being doing, you know, preaching when I was a youth and youth services, but then starting when I was 18, I started my ministry. And I found that a lot of people have a problem with feeling like they don't belong. And in fact, the psychologists and even many Bible scholars have stated that the greatest human desire or need is to belong somewhere or to be a part of something. You know, a lot of people deal with rejection and not being accepted sometimes because of unfortunate situations when they're growing up or some other kind of some situation that happened in their life. They battle feelings of insecurity and rejection and unworthiness. They feel like they're not worthy. But, you know, God wants us to realize that we belong in the family of God. And all of the benefits belong to us. Now, I want to look at some statements that the Apostle Paul made. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And in Galatians 3:29, and now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you. Now, this was Paul's revelation concerning who we are in Christ and what we have because we're in Christ. Understanding who you are in Christ and what you have because you're in Christ, the blessings that belong to you, is one of the most important things that you can learn. You see, the Apostle Paul, if we want to say it this way, from reading these scriptures, he's not an outsider. He's not rejected. He has a place. He has a right to be in the family of God. It says so in Galatians 3:29. Now, knowing your identity is to put you in a position of knowing where you belong and knowing what belongs to you. You know, when you become secure in who you are and where you belong, then you can move forward. You know, I have seen this over the years and then through study. You see that when people don't know where they belong, they do strange things. You know, in my degree plan, I have about 22 hours in psychology. And one of the things that they say, people that don't feel a sense of belonging anywhere, they don't stay anywhere very long. They move around from here to here to here to here. And some of you may have been in churches where you see people do that. And then another thing that happens with people that don't have a feeling of security and that they belong somewhere is that they get easily offended. They get easily offended. And the people that have the feeling of they don't know where they belong, they exhibit a lack of confidence. They have no confidence. And, you know, we need to settle this question about where we belong. If you don't, you'll never live the life, the good life that God planned for you in His Word. See, in Christ is where we find where we belong. We become a part of the family of God, therefore being able to partake of all of the blessings that belongs to us. You know, if you feel lost and alone, if you're born again Christian, then you need to just realize, hey, you're not alone and you're not lost. You are part of the family of God, and you have a right to all that belongs to you as a Christian. Now, Paul knew who he belonged to. Acts 27:23. Acts 27:23. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Acts 27:23 from the New Living Translation. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside them. Paul knew where he belonged. He said, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong. Paul was secure in the fact because he knew that he belonged to God, the great I am, the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, Jehovah Jireh, the God that is the provider, Jehovah Rapha, the God that is the healer. He is our Heavenly Father, and we are part of His family. All of those names, and there's a whole bunch more, that describe who God is and what He can do and His attributes. Now, we belong to Him. And Paul knew that he belonged to God and what God would do for him. Now, you see, I belong to the Hagin family. And they're, you know, I got a cousin that is an attorney in Abilene, Texas. Terry Hagin, well, Charles Terry, and he goes by Terry. Now, you know, he will call me. I mean, I may haven't talked to him for 2 or 3 months. He'll call me, but it's just like that we haven't been apart or that we're apart. We just start talking because we are part of the same family. And we have some of the same traits. Of course, you know Craig. He's my son. He's part of the Hagin family. And I've got 5 grandsons. And 3 of them are Hagin, and two of them are Hagin Burns. And, you know, because we all pick up the family traits, we're a part of the family. They all do certain things just alike. Any of you got any siblings, any brothers, sisters, cousins? Have you ever noticed that you're in one family? Have you ever noticed that you do a lot of things alike?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A story, and it happened. It's one of our people that went to Rhema. They were adopted at birth. But when they got older, because they needed to know some things, because of physical condition, they needed to know some things. So she was able to find her mother. And she went to Florida to her mother's house. And when she went in, the furniture was almost identical to her furniture in her house. The colors of the curtains and so forth and so on. The way she acted, her mother, although she didn't grow up with her, but you see, she came from her. So she picked up those traits. When we are born again in Christ Jesus, become a new person in Christ. So therefore, now we are part of the family of God, and we should be picking up the attributes of the family of God. See, do you ever realize that if you are, if you're responsible for something, or if something belongs to you, then you're responsible to take care of it. How many of you got a car? Who's responsible to take care of that car? Yeah. Why? Because that car belongs to you. Paul said he belonged to God. We belong to God because we become a part of the family of God. And He will provide for us. He's the God that will give us more than enough. He's the God that will heal us. He's the God that will make a place for each of us. He's our deliverer, our provider, our protector, and the list goes on. You know, Paul said that by receiving Christ as his Savior, he now belonged to the family of God. And because he belongs to the family of God, and God is his heavenly Father, then God will take care of him. Amen. Now, you got to believe that, and then you've got to act like that he will. You see, when you feel lonely, you feel like you're down, I want you to respond with a loud voice. I belong to God. I'm not alone. And he will provide. He will take care of me. You know, now, another thing that we can look at is that Paul knew where he belonged. Not only did he know where who he belonged to, he knew where. You see, being in Christ, Paul knew that now he belonged to the body of Christ. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, I'm going to read it from the Message translation. That's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got to here. In what he is building, he used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. And now he's using you, fitting you into in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds everything together. We see it take shape after day after day. A holy temple built by God. All of us built into a temple in which God is quite at home. Now, if you go over and read in Peter, he says that God is building with lively stones, talking about us. He's building his kingdom. He's building the body of Christ. We talk about the body of Christ. You see, God then fits each of us into the kingdom where he wants us, where he has a part for us. The kingdom is made up of nobody that's perfect. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is built with imperfect and flawed people who have received salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because now we're in Christ, we belong. And God will fit you into his kingdom. You know, here a while back over at the main campus, we were building the youth building that was finished about a year ago, I guess this past February. And now the porch around it had metal poles going up, like something like these. Now, they built a box around them, and these have got a box built. There's a pole inside there, and they've got these built around it. Now, they were out there putting the rock on. One of my grandsons was working during the summer. One of my grandsons was working there. They would, they start it and they pick up a stone. Okay, now it don't quite fit. So they take a little hammer and a little pick and they chip off the edges until they get that rock where it will fit there. And then they cement it into place. That's what Christ does with us. We belong in the family. Now he takes our rough edges off and fits us into the family so that we can be who we're supposed to be. He is the mason. You know, that's what they call a guy that lays brick. You know, when I was associate pastor, my father-in-law, back in, 67 to 72. Now, we had... The church had started with a building back here, and then they'd built a long annex and built another building and was for the church, because it outgrew this and the church here. And now out here, they built a main church auditorium. So between these two buildings here, you had an indention and they come out. So now it's just, we're going to go in there. We poured the foundation and we're going to build a new Sunday school annex in there because we needed more room for the youth. We're going to do a two-story, and they're going to be youth up here, and They're going to be in the nursery and kids down below. So now both of the you had brick here down this side of this building, brick here, and brick all the way down the side, long wall like that right there. Now, that brick was no longer being made. So yours truly got the job of taking those brick up, down. Now, you could just go in there and pull them down. They fall down. They break all up. But we got to use them because we have to put the building came out about 6 feet on each side here. And then the whole front, it has to be covered with the same kind of brick in order to match. So I took each brick and I had to chip off the mortar and then stack them up. Now, when they started laying the brick, yours truly got to help at that. I'm associate pastor now. I'm doing everything. I'm preaching. I'm going to hospitals. I'm visiting. I'm doing everything. But I'm out there, too, during the day with the men of the church. A couple of the men of the church were retired builders, and they're out there building, and I out there work with them. And then at night, the men of the church come at 6 o'clock and work. And so I'm out there from 6 o'clock in the morning to 5 in the afternoon when those two guys would go home. I go get something to eat, and I'm back out there at 6 o'clock with the guys from the church that are working. And I'm there till the last one leaves, and then I make sure all the lights that we strung up are out and all the tools are put up. And now I get to go to the house, and now I've got to study for my Sunday sermon. But that's what an associate pastor does. But now we're out there laying these bricks. And so John Holcomb may say, "Hey, Ken, listen, I need this brick to be 2 inches shorter." Well, now you got to be very careful, because if you don't do it right, there ain't no do-over. So I had to be very careful that using that particular saw that would go through the brick, that I didn't chip off part of the brick or whatever, and I had to be precise on my line because it had to fit in that exact space with enough space on each side of it to put the mortar. Right? Anybody ever laid any brick? Isn't that correct? So you see, I had to actually physically make those brick when they need them, especially when they start getting to the corner. It changes. Up until then, you can use the whole brick, but when you start getting to that corner and you got to make that corner, everything changes. See, that's who we are. We belong in the family of God. We know who we are. We're part of the family. But now we are being molded and shaped by God as we live with Him to fit into the kingdom. Now, you know, have you ever gone somewhere with somebody? Now, you didn't know anybody there, and really, you hadn't received the invitation to get to go there, but you're with somebody, and they say, They say, and when you're going up there, the other guy said, "Hey, he's with me." And so you go on in, but you don't feel like you belong. Anybody been there? I've been there before. And I've had people with me that I've taken many places that I could go into but if they were me, I'm all right. We're with Jesus. So therefore, that means that we can come into the throne room of God and talk to God the Father because we are in Christ. See, so many times many people, "Oh, I'm so unworthy." No, you're not unworthy. Christ, God never had an unworthy person. Amen. It says that you were born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. You know, you are worthy. You know, Paul did not consider himself unworthy. Unworthiness is a thief of the Christian. The devil tries to get you to realize, your life has been so messed up. You're just even lucky that God would even save you. You know, you're unworthy to get any of the blessings. And he robs people of the blessings of God. If you've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are worthy of every blessing that it says in the book. Every promise in the book is yours. You know, God made us worthy through being a part of through being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say, I got all tangled up because I'm thinking about something else. And you know something else? If you're in the body of Christ, it's an invisible body of thousands of people from all over the world. But there is a visible body called the local church. Amen. And everybody that's born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ belongs in a local church. Amen. That's where you belong. Now you belong in the body of Christ, but you also belong in a local church. As Christians, we should all find ourselves a local body of Christ. Now, the ecclesia, as we call it, that's a Bible school seminary term. Ecclesia, meaning the called out ones, are the universal body of Christ. That's everybody that's born again. But then we have the local body, a church. This is a local body. We're just a part of the ecclesia, the called out ones that are part of the body of Christ. See, what we need to realize and begin to say, if you don't feel like you belong, you need to say, I know where I belong. I belong in the body of Christ, and I know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, another thing that we need to get a hold of when we begin to talk about where we belong is what belongs to us. You see, Paul knew that since he belonged to Christ, that God had given him certain rights and certain privileges. He now had access to the resources of heaven. My father, in a book, it's probably one out there, said in the book called Knowing What Belongs to You on page 3, everything God did in Christ belongs to the church, the body of Christ. And everything God did for us was intended to bless us, to enable us to carry out his plan on the earth. And then he went on to say, everything Christ bought and paid for at Calvary belongs to those that are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is a great example for us. Paul did not have a perfect life. After Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road, he didn't have a life of ease. He had some difficult times and some hardships. You can read it there in Corinthians if you don't read about it. He was left for dead. He was beaten with rods. He was put in prison. He was shipwrecked. All kinds of things happened to him. But he goes on to say that all of that is temporary. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, the light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Because you see, he knew when he went through these difficult situations that that's not the end. That at the end, Christ would bring him out victorious. And he said in two different places. One place he said, I always triumph in Christ Jesus. In another place he said, in Christ, he always brings him out triumphant on the other side. See, here we need to realize that because of who we are, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. You see, Paul had to, he need to realize that who he was and who he belonged to and what he had. Now, You know, when I was growing up, I was a teenager, Dad finally, my senior year in high school, he was finally able to, and I don't have time to tell you the story, but man, a lot of y'all saw us in the latter years. You weren't there when we went through the meal, when we had nothing but beans and cornbread to eat. But anyway, finally, my senior year in high school, and it's a long story, that's how we got there, Dad was able to get me a little 53 Plymouth. That would have been December 57. And so he gave me the keys to that car, and it had belonged to my aunt. My uncle may have given it to him. I don't know. Anyway, they made some kind of deal. It was his youngest brother, my uncle. And Uncle Pat had bought Aunt Jeanette a brand new 57 Plymouth Fury convertible. If any of you remember the 57 Plymouth Fury, had two carburetors on it. It was a hot rod. Well, I got this little 53 Plymouth Cranbrook two door and 100 horses, 99 horsepower up there under that with that inline six cylinder. Dad handed me the keys, and in the other hand, he handed me a toolbox. He said, "These are my tools. They're in the garage. If this car needs working on, you better learn how to work on it." You know, and what belonged to him, I felt like belonged to me. If it's in that garage, I got it. Now, Craig was preaching somewhere, and him and Richie was out with him leading the songs, and y'all know Richie King that comes and reads sometimes here. And so Craig, he was preaching, and he said, "I have a bass boat." This is years ago. And after service, Richie said to Craig, "Craig, you don't have a bass boat." He said, "Yes, I do. Dad has one, so if he has one, I have one."
That's right.
That's the way we need to think when we think about our Father God. Amen. Everything that he says that is his, it belongs to us. Everything that Christ has belongs to us, because in Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Paul knew that he had just as much entitlement to the blessings and resources of God as Jesus did. You know, just before Jesus went away in John, he told his disciples, he said, "Up to now, you've asked nothing in my name, but if you'll ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you." You see, we are in Christ. When we pray in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus asking God for it. We have that right. The Bible says so. You see, every one of us needs to know that we're entitled to the same thing Jesus was. In fact, it says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. There in the Word of God. It says that in the Word. That's where Jesus is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. You see, we need to realize that we don't follow some earthly leader. That 1 Corinthians 3:21 in the New Living 3:21-23. "So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future, everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." The Holy Spirit is telling us that we're in Christ, so we're in Christ. Everything belonging to Christ belongs to us.
Amen.
See, many Christians, my dad said in that same book, Knowing What Belongs to You, many Christians don't know that all of the blessings are already theirs. Instead of praying, by praying and believing God, they keep trying to get them what already belongs to them. Now, wouldn't it be silly for one of my grandkids to come up and ask me for something that I already told them that I would give them. That all they got to do is take advantage of it. Come on now.
That's right.
I mean, they all know. I've told them I'll help them. I help them with anything they need. So they all played sports. Two of them are still in high school. One's a senior and one's a freshman this year. But, you know, when they were all playing sports, when they were playing Little League football, the next year they called Poppy. I've outgrown my shoulder pads. I've outgrown my helmet. Why are they doing that? Because I had already told them that I would help them. God has already told us in the Word of God that He would take care of us, that He would bless us, that He would prosper us. And all we got to do is believe Him and ask Him for it. You see, what we need to say is, in Christ, I have everything. Because He paid for it at Calvary. The promises of God belong to me. The heavenly resources are mine. You know, we need to get to the point where that whenever the enemy comes against us, that we begin to say what the Bible says. No weapon formed against me will prosper because I'm a part of the family of God. I am in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on now. See, we got to get to the point that we realize we're part of the family of God and that we are not left out. Through Christ, we can receive and have everything that God said in this word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, anybody get in? I've talked long enough. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? It's one thing that we need to get a hold of, and it all, and I see it happening all the time with Christians, is that they don't understand the redemptive realities of being in Christ. Therefore, they do not receive everything that belongs to them. You cannot receive what belongs to you, even though you know it's yours, if you don't do something about it. Right? In 2003, my dad went home to be with the Lord. And he had put together a trust. And he had said, all right, if I go first, then you're in charge of everything. You take care of Mom until she goes. And when she goes, then whatever's left, you divide between you and your sister, because I've already taken care of the grandkids and the great-grandkids. You divide between... All right. That is a legal document that legally exists that says when Mom goes that everything that is left from Kenneth and Oretha Hagen belongs to Kenneth Wayne Hagen and Patsy Guileen Hagen. Or Harrison, her name is now, my sister. Do you realize that's a legal document? But until we execute that document, nothing becomes ours. And you know, I don't know whether you notice or not, but ever so often in the major newspapers here in Oklahoma, they put a deal in there of all of the property that hasn't been claimed. Anybody ever see that in there? You know, that's people that have, sometimes it's an inheritance. It belongs to them. It legally is theirs, but they don't take advantage of it because they don't know about it. I'm trying to tell you what belongs to you in Christ, so you can take advantage of it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. Y'all get anything?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we happen to have anybody in here tonight, you're not in the family of God because you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, or you're in the family of God and you just know you're not where you need to be and you need to come back and rededicate yourself to the Lord. So, If that's you, I want you to just sit by and come down here. I'm going to pray for you. You won't leave here like you came. Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. Do you have something you want to sing? All right, let's sing it.
Song, but we're going to sing it. It's an old song, and it says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Anybody ever sung that before? Oh, I got some people that know it. I got some people out here that know it. Let's sing it.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen.
Amen.
It's yours because yes. of who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. Have the whole weekend and come on Sunday night and enjoy a time with the Lord. Amen. Hey, shake hands, be friendly with everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord.